Well, that was a marathon reading. You'll be pleased to know that during this service, the sermon, we'll be covering all 40 verses in detail. You don't need morning tea, do you? No. No, we will be skating through a little bit, and do feel free to grab me after the service and ask me questions on things that I don't cover, because I won't be able to cover everything, absolutely everything. But you'll have until about 11:50, and then I turn into a pumpkin. I have to leave and take young men off to Scripture Union Cricket Camp, where they're going to play cricket and learn about Jesus all day long for several days. And that's only 8 hours of driving this afternoon. Let's pray before we look at God's Word. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word, and we pray that you would speak to us again as we think about it. Help us to understand what you are saying, that we may see the importance of faith in your plan, both for us and for all those in the ancient world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of those questions I get asked every now and then, and it's a common question that Christians have. It's a question that even non-Christians might have, and they might ask the question. And the question is this: what about those who live before Jesus? Like, if we're saved by faith in Jesus today, well, how are they saved by faith in Jesus before Jesus? It's a great question. And if you've ever asked that question, or if you've ever had, even worse, had someone ask that question of you and you've gone, this is the passage to get your teeth into. In fact, I hope at the end of this, you'll just, anytime anyone says this question, you'll say, that's Hebrews 11. And you'll be able to take them to Hebrews 11 and show them how. But before we look at Hebrews 11, let's look at the last verse of the previous chapter, because the last verse of the previous chapter sets up this chapter, and I'll read it to you. It says this: but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Okay, so the first thing to understand about the passage we're looking at is that faith is the means of salvation. And the writer to the Hebrews has been wanting to encourage his readers to trust Jesus and then keep trusting Jesus and not to drift off to something else. If we want the benefits of Jesus once for all sacrifice for sins, which we've been hearing about again and again through the book of Hebrews, then we need to have faith in Jesus. It is faith in Jesus that saves. Not keeping the law, as the original hearers of Hebrews would have been tempted to think. Not by being a decent bloke, as people in our society might be tempted to think. It's only by faith in Jesus that we are saved. And so faith acts a little bit like having a password to a bank account. You know the thing with a bank account, the money is there, but to access it for yourself, you need to use the password. In a similar way, kind of, the forgiveness from Jesus' once for all sacrifice is there. Right? He's paid the price, the full price for sin. But it is faith in Jesus that makes it effective for us. It is faith in Jesus that is our means of salvation. How we get there. And in chapter 11 then, the writer goes on to explain that this has always been how God has operated. That's how God has always saved his people. And in that sense, this passage has a very similar function to Romans chapter 4, which is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, that indicates possible Pauline authorship of Hebrews. If for those who worry about such things. And if you want to debate that with me, you have until 11:50, and then I turn into a pumpkin. And so, what we see in chapter 11 is an Old Testament history lesson designed to show that it has always been salvation by faith. Okay? And that's why all the way through you keep seeing this, by faith he did this, by faith he did that, by faith. Okay? All the way through you see that. And let me encourage you to read Hebrews 11 again when you get home, because it's super encouraging, and you'll see, just count how many times the word faith is there. And you'll see it there's quite a bit. So, as we traverse this brief history of the Old Testament, we find some interesting things, like verse 4. So have a look at verse 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. So here we find out in this verse why God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's back in Genesis chapter 4. You might remember that back in Genesis 4, we're not actually told the full reason. We're just told that Cain offered crops and Abel offered the fat portions of his firstborn of his flocks. And if you just read Genesis 4, it would be a bit of an enigma. And plenty of people have speculated why Abel's sacrifice was the better sacrifice, why it was accepted and Cain's wasn't. Was it due to the fat portions, they speculate? He was given the very best. Was it due to the firstborn? Again, the very best. Well, actually, we don't have to speculate any longer because Hebrews tells us, as you can see on the screen, that is because of Abel's faith. Abel's faith was the difference. He offered his sacrifice out of faith in God, and Cain obviously didn't. And that's the difference. It was faith that made the sacrifice acceptable. I'm just going to say that again because it's kind of important for you to later. It was faith that made the sacrifice acceptable. We see another interesting aspect of faith in verse 6. Have a look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we see here that faith is required if we are to please God at all. That is, you must believe in God in order to approach him at all. And what we learn from this is that the atheist and the agnostic cannot ever please God. All the good deeds they might do don't impress God at all. And this is a big problem because the average Aussie thinks, usually, that if God sees that they're a decent bloke, that God will let them in, God will let him or her into heaven. And that is a sadly mistaken view. Okay, being a good bloke or a good Sheila is not good enough. In fact, it doesn't impress God at all. If you want to please God, we see here in this verse that you start by believing in God. And when you believe in God, you also believe in his word to you, which is exemplified by two characters that we see very quickly, Noah and Abraham. So in verse 7, Noah believes God's warning and builds the ark, which would have been seen by most of his contemporaries as completely mad. What are you doing this for? Because God told me to do it and I trust him. Okay. You can just imagine they would have been going, that guy there, yeah, he's lost it. And then Abraham, in a similar fashion, in verse 8, he hears God's message and he moves entire countries because of God's message to him. Again, I imagine his relatives would be saying, why are you going away from all of us? You know, All your support network. To move countries to where? You don't even know where yet? Wow. And then in verse 11, you see Abraham believes God's message about something very special. His descendants. And the faith of Abraham and Noah was not just that God existed. They didn't believe in the existence of God. They believed or they trusted God's promises to them. They believed in the word of God. They trusted what God was saying to them. And they did so because they actually trusted God's character, that he was trustworthy. They trusted, therefore, when God said, go and do this, and they did, even though the implications were profound for their lives. A complete change of lifestyle, we would say. There's another interesting example of faith from Abraham again in verse 19. I'm going to flip over the page and find verse 19. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So Abraham also believed that God would raise the dead. Now you can imagine that this would be super important to Jewish Christians who first heard this book. Okay? They believed in the resurrection of the dead because they believed that Jesus was risen from the dead. You know, that God is able to do that. Yeah, that's a pretty important thing. And it's also important for us because, like them, we believe the same thing. We believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. What's more, both them and us also look forward to our own resurrections from the dead. That death is not the end for us, but rather the start of life forever in heaven. And you can see how the writer is taking us back so that we can see that this faith that we have today is exactly the same faith that they had back then. Okay? It's not a new thing to be saved by faith. It's how God's people have always been saved. Verse 25. See something else interesting? He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. So these verses are about Moses in Egypt. So we've passed Abraham now into the Moses era. And Moses has faith despite persecution in Egypt. And I'm sure you would be able to understand that this would have been very significant for the original readers of this letter as they faced severe persecution at the hands of their countrymen, the fellow Jews, fellow Hebrews. It would have also been extremely significant for early Christians who were Gentiles, who suffered at the hands of their own countrymen. And, of course, it's significant today for Christians around the world who are persecuted for their faith. We know that the most persecuted group of people in the world are Christians. And, friends, it's important for us as well. For although we do not face the same persecution that other believers face around the world, there is still exclusion. And there are still job opportunities that get missed. And there's still the, you know, denigration on social media, or sometimes in the main media. And so for us, we also need to keep trusting Jesus despite persecution. Just like early Christians and just like Moses. And once again, the writer is wanting us and these original hearers to say, aha, that Moses, he has the same faith that I have. you'll notice that Christ even gets a mention in these verses, which makes really explicit the link between the New Testament believer and the Old Testament believer. It's not a new phenomenon that believers have faith despite persecution. It didn't start in the book of Acts. It's always been that way. Always. And the passage, this passage of faith saving people, reaches a crescendo in verses 32 to 38, where he just lists off, bang, 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 a whole group of people in the Old Testament who had faith, and that faith saved them. And you can feel it building and building and building until it reaches the conclusion in verses 39 to 40. And we'll pick it up again there. Verse 39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So the great conclusion to this great chapter of the Bible is that the great believers of the Old Testament are made perfect with us. That is, they are also saved by Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice. His death pays permanently for their sin as well as ours. And their faith, which is the same as our faith, is the means by which they obtain the forgiveness that Jesus bought on the cross. So, put it another way, they believed in the promise that was fulfilled in Jesus. And we believe in Jesus who fulfilled all the promises that were made to them. It's as if we are both looking at the same thing and trusting the same thing from different directions. Well, actually, that's exactly what we're doing. We're both looking from at different points in time at the same point in time and saying, that was when salvation happened. Jesus dying on the cross. That is the moment. And they trust Jesus, just like we do, for salvation. So together, both Old Testament and New Testament believers are made perfect in Christ. So friends, if you're ever at that point where someone asks you, yeah, but what happened to people before Jesus? How did they get saved? Now I hope you'll say, well, the answer's all there in Hebrews 11. The answer's there. And the answer is that they are saved just like we are by faith. By faith in Jesus. They believed in the promises that were fulfilled in Jesus, and we believe in the Jesus who fulfilled their promises. The promises made to them. They are saved the same way we are. It has always been salvation by faith in Jesus. But friends, when you get to the end of that and you say, yeah, I understand that now, it also means you ought to ask yourself a question. And that is, have I been made perfect in Christ through faith in Jesus? Do I trust Jesus and have been forgiven and will enter heaven? Now, I'm sure there's a number of us here who would say, absolutely, yes, I trust Jesus. And so I know I'm saved in the same way as all the saints of old have been saved. And that's a great thing. It's a great place to be. Know again that your salvation is secure, not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done for you on the cross. But if you're sitting here this morning, or if you're listening online and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm not sure. Do I have faith in? I'm not sure. Well, if that's you, then let me recommend grabbing someone and asking them, can you please help me to be sure about my faith in Jesus? And that might be a parent, or it might be a friend, or it might be, look, you can even grab me. I'm happy to be grabbed. And you can say to me, Paul, I want to be sure about my faith in Jesus, and we'll have a chat. Yeah, it's really important to be sure about these things. Why? Because it's faith in Jesus that saves. It always has been, and always will be, faith in Jesus that saves. So friends, if you're not sure, then don't leave it on the I'll do that at some point list. Put it on your I'm going to do this right now as a matter of urgency list. In fact, by the time you write the list, it should be too late because you've already done it. Because it's so important. Let me commend that to you, and let me pray for us that we would trust Jesus just like all those saints of old, and also experience the forgiveness that is there in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that like those Old Testament believers, you have saved us through faith in Jesus. Thank you that his death on the cross pays the penalty for sin from the creation of the world to the end of the world. And that we can access that salvation, that forgiveness, through trusting Jesus. We thank you for this. And we pray that each and every one of us here in this room or listening online would trust Jesus, be forgiven, and then live with you forever. And we ask this not just for our own salvation and our own benefit, but so that we might praise your name forever. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.